A powerful, masterful voice delivering a message that's powerful and life-changing. Today, we're visiting with the one and only David Phelps.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
He's simply known as the voice around gospel music, the machine, and he's back for round two. We'll get started with the conclusion of our two-part series, a great hour set before us with David Phelps. But before we settle in with more conversation, let's get things started off right with another David Phelps tune on Daniel Britt and Friends.
The other day, just wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about. So I settled back in my seat, a bestseller, I said, a history and mystery in one. Then I opened up the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
And the Word was with God.
He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learn that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. That's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition, a made-out tales, just to help the weak to survive. Oh, let me read it again, I said, but listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learn that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross. And that was the end of the beginning. The beginning, he said with a smile. What more could there be? He's dead. You said they hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said I'll read it again, but this time there's more. And I believe that this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all. Little town of Bethlehem, all the angels singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see. And did you know that God could be a friend? And though he never did a single
Then he walked and he died. But 3 days later, 3 days later, he rose. 3 days later, he rose. You see, he came and he lived and he died, but that was the end of the beginning.
You're listening to David Phelps here on Daniel Britt and Friends, sitting here with David and really trying to get the inside scoop on what makes you tick, and especially at this day. I mean, we've had interviews in the past, but at this moment in your life, where your passions are, and as a member of the Gaither Vocal Band, obviously, I love the harmony stuff you guys do. Your solo work, I've always loved that, and the variety you bring to that. I'll put it this way, it never gets boring, okay, when you listen to a David Phelps project. If we were to ask, and the Gaither Vocal Band's in a season of change right now, if we were to ask either a bandmate of yours, or go find your best friend or your wife, and say, how does David deal with change? How do you think they would answer, you know, when you have to go through a season like this, like you're going through with the vocal band? Are you control freak?
I will admit I probably don't always deal with it, you know, the right way, the textbook, you know, the way that we would all like to step back and deal with it. Change is hard for a reason. You know, there's some sadness that you kind of go through in it, and you know, you hate to lose the good things. Often that comes with change, comes with loss, you know, often because you think, well, we've worked so hard, you know, for whatever it is, you know, and at some point you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go, all right, I didn't want to lose this. I didn't want this to change, but tomorrow's going to be good. And if you go through enough of it, you start to realize you have no idea what's around the corner. Mm-hmm. And everything could have been preparing you for the next thing in your life. Everything up to this point, it could just be absolutely amazing. And so, you really have to kind of live in that place instead of the place of loss, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know that they would say that I always deal with it perfectly. I have my ups and downs, you know, with all of it. You know, talking about the vocal band, I have my ups and downs with it, you know. And but I know that God has great things ahead of us, and could very well be the best thing we've ever been a part of.
was it for crimes that I have done that he groaned upon the tree?
This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven, will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen.
This is Daniel Britton Friends. And today we're catching up with Gaither Vocal Band member and soloist, David Phelps.
You come from a talented family, and we were all moved by the moment on the classic video with your sister, who is there, and she has, in fact, still very recently has passed on. How is the family, now that we're so many months out, how are you guys carrying on her legacy and still at the same time dealing with these very raw emotions?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. It's like I often think, I wonder if there's a right way to do this, and if there is, we're probably not doing it. It's very hard. It's very hard, and we were very close as a whole family. And to a certain degree, Sherry raised me a little bit. And so she was not only my sister, but at certain points, a mother figure, you know, to me. And then definitely a best friend. And so that's a lot of people that I lost there in that one thing. And then you add to that, you know, a singing partner and someone who also worked in my business. You know, she was head of our booking operations there. We were very tightly wrapped, you know. And so the tentacles that that are all woven together don't release very easily. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And so it has been difficult. And there, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. And I feel like that there are some days that I just haven't handled it very well at all, you know. There are some days that I just, you know, it's just really, really hard. And then there are days when I feel like the songs that we've sung catch up to me, and they're feeding me for the first time, you know. Point to No More Night, you know, that song that I've sung for years, and I feel like that I, you know, I'm just hearing it for the first time sometimes. But it has been a very hard journey, and there are days where I look at, you know, Mom and Dad and my sister Carrie, and I think, boy, we are just devastated. You know, this is devastating. And then there are days when I kind of clear my eyes a little bit and my focus gets a little bit better, and I'm reminded of everything that we have left, and it's pretty amazing. And I feel the gratefulness very heavy. And so I think it's, I'm not sure that it's the right way to do things, but we are in the process of grieving and figuring out how to move on and be respectful, move on and hang on.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's hard.
Well, she had a vibrant personality, and during a season of remission, Janet Paschal and I had a chance to sit down and talk to her, and I want you to hear her comments because I think it gives hope. It paints such a wonderful picture to hear not only what you've said, but to hear this music and about our faith, and then to hear from Sherry herself.
Did you feel like, Sherry, that it was as difficult for your family members as it was for you?
Oh, yes. When I was diagnosed, there was initial fear, and felt very calm while the doctor was telling me the news. Of course, I went out to the car after that and just fell apart with my husband crying. Mm-hmm. But I was not afraid, Janet, of dying. I totally have a peace about that. What I feared most and what I had the most anxiety about was my family and my my children, my husband, my parents, and how this would just hush them. And, you know, I didn't want, especially with my children, I didn't want them to have a crisis of faith. You know, you always want to show them as you're going through this that God is in control, even though you have those hard, hard days. But, yes, it was very hard on my family, but I was so blessed to have a family that has the same faith that I have, that things are going to work out when you put your faith in God. You know?
To continue the trend, Sherry, and pass it along, pay it forward, if there is a listener today who is just leaving the doctor's office and they've just received the very same diagnosis that you and I received, what advice would you give to them, or what would you say to them?
I would say that it's okay to be shocked and scared, and all of your emotions are okay, and God understands that. I would say just keep taking it to Him and hold on to your friends and your family and your church. And what helped me a lot, Janet, was that I had children that I was homeschooling. I had concert schedules that I had in front of me, and my doctors were so good about saying, do what you feel like doing. If you want to go and keep singing and keep going out on the road, then you do it as long as you feel like it. And I feel like that really lifted my spirits to be around people who loved me and loved the Lord, and people who were praying for me, and just cling to the scripture. I journaled my prayers. I had a hard time focusing. I don't know about you, but my thought processes were just kind of messed up during all of chemo, and even still now.
Yeah, but, I can relate to that.
So it really helped me to journal my prayers and to just write. And I also believe that God's word, when you speak it, it has power. And it has power on its own, but when you speak God's word like Jesus modeled for us, there's power in that. And so I just searched the scripture and found scriptures that He put just there for me that day. And I just tried to get up and do what God had given me to do for that day. And I believe that He blessed it. And there were bad, bad days too. Days where I just was so, so tired I could only sit and teach my kids from the couch or something that just didn't take much much effort on my part at all. I'll be truthful with you. There were not all great days. There were bad days too, and days where I just felt like crying. Mm. I didn't want to go through it, but I'll tell you what, He is faithful and He is good, and He will walk through whatever you have to go through with you.
That's sort of it in a nutshell, isn't it, Dan?
It really is. Sherry Proctor is the sister to David Phelps. That connection, I guess that's how you guys met each other, right?
It is, through her mom.
Well, I'm so proud to be a part of what you're doing, and I just hope that you keep on and that God blesses.
Amen. Thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head. Silver song of a love.
You're listening to David Phelps here on Daniel Britt and Friends. David, I want to talk about health, diet, vocal tips for anybody who is, and I wonder if you end up being a counselor sometimes, a vocal counselor on the road. Because again, going back to Baylor, people, I could be wrong, but I get this sense that people see you as not just having raw talent, but also having that education, that book smart about the voice. And so I wonder if you get that a lot. But before we go there, if you were to wake up tomorrow with amnesia and you had no documentation to look at, nobody knew how old you were, and you didn't know how old you were, you had no mirror. So there's no mirror. You don't know how old you are, no birth certificate. How old do you feel?
Oh, wow. Well, let me first tell you, after 5 days on a road, I feel like that I wake up and have amnesia a lot of times. But this is the season that the really first season that's really hit us. You know, I have a child in college this year, and Lori and I both sit down and go, we cannot be this old. Has this much time passed? What is happening here? I mean, it almost feels like we dozed off for 10 years, you know, and woke up. You know, I don't know. I feel like most days that I'm in my 20s, as long as I don't pass a mirror. So,
well, and so to the voice, you're a fit guy. You seem to take care of yourself. I think you eat okay. But how much of that is important to making sure that your instrument, your voice is okay? And do you have any recommendations on do this as I do or don't do this as I do?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I struggle. I've always struggled with food. Food is, you know, my great mistress. I love it, and it's hard to pass up a dessert. And my wife is a great Southern cook, and so that's always, you know what? It's just going to be something I battle with. I'm not one of these people who. I have a violin player that travels with me who anything unhealthy is like poison to her. She just doesn't even consider eating it. And I'm like,
does she look down her nose at you?
Well, we kid her that she does all the time. I say, I didn't work this hard to climb my way to the top of the food chain to become a vegetarian. But I think as far as vocal health goes, I think everybody's individual. And I think just like with any other kind of health and just like any other kind of athlete, he can't go, well, you know, let's take a runner. A runner can't go, well, so-and-so only to do this. He only has to work out, you know, 2 hours a day or whatever. So I'm only going to work out 2 hours a day. But then if your results aren't the same, you're realizing that you're going to have to do something different. So in the end, a vocalist is like an athlete. I mean, and you've got to, whatever it is going to take for you to be healthy, you've got to figure that out. Whether that's a certain number of hours of rest, a certain amount of water and hydration, being able to do certain things with your voice and not being able to do certain things with your voice. The truth is, one singer can sing can do a growl for their whole life and be totally, totally okay, while another singer can do the same thing and have nodes in a year. And so everybody is individual. So that really is kind of the groundwork for that. And I still take voice lessons. I still, every, you know, year or so at least, and more often if I'm having some trouble, I still go into my coach and go, okay, what can I do? How can I get past this? And, you know, because like I said, you know, I was just out for 5 days. I know after the third day, I'm tired. And so if I don't watch it, I will then start incorporating bad habits to be able to do the same thing that I could at day one. Just like a runner will. If he hurts his knee, he's going to, or a weightlifter. If he hurts his shoulder, he's going to incorporate different muscles in order to push up that weight. And it's not going to be a healthy move. So you've really got to have someone watching you and going, hey, you're starting to do some things here. And it usually starts because you're tired, because you've worked too hard. And so at that point, you got to step back. back and go, I got to get back my good habits, and this is going to take a little bit of work and rest and treating everything just perfect in order to get back to where I was. I have to do that. I'll have to do that my whole life. I remember hearing Pavarotti at the last year he was singing. He said, you know, for him, it was breath support. For most singers, it is. He said, you will work on it the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's encouraging to someone at that level to admit there are things you have to work on for the rest of your life. And in his 70s, I think, is when he died, he was still singing amazing. You know, to be able to pull off that athletic feat that he was doing at that age is amazing. And so it's something you have to be proactive about. Nothing makes me sadder than to hear someone with an incredible raw talent brag about never having had any voice lessons. Because I think, where could that have gone if they had just known how to operate the vehicle they were given, you know?
Yeah.
But if they had just known how to floor it without burning up the engine, you know? And that is a sad thing, and that we hear that a lot, especially in our business, because a good coach can teach you how to get so much more out of your voice than you could ever imagine. Yeah. And it's not necessarily about finding a coach who can just blow you away vocally, but they have a different perspective than you do, you know?
Yeah.
They have a perspective and an understanding of the voice. I could rattle on for a long time about this. I'm obviously very passionate about
it. Sure, yeah.
I've always been very passionate about the science of the voice. What's happening to my vocal cords right now? Okay, when I'm feeling this, that did not feel right. So what was going on literally with the ligaments and the muscles in my throat when I did that, you know? And so I've always been very passionate about figuring that out. Definitely don't know everything. And I definitely am, you know, at 44, I'm kind of feeling some things that are like, okay, what was that? What is going on there that I haven't felt before? But
would you love to go into with a surgeon and watch like vocal surgery, like live as it was happening?
Yeah. And I've actually seen some of that before. And, you know, they've put the scope down my throat while I've been singing before, and I've seen, you know, what's going on and, you know, imperfections in my cords and the places where it's unusual and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the science of the voice is very interesting. And at this point in my career, I am loving that I'm getting the opportunity to go into colleges and do some master classes. Wow. And speak with their music departments and work with some vocalists that that, you know, are just beginning their dreams, you know. And so it's a new thing for me that I'm just really loving.
Okay, but practically speaking, do you stay away from milk? Do you stay away from fried foods? Like, we're backstage in an arena, and I overheard that there's a circus coming in, and they wanted the elephants to be back here in this room. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, hay or, you know, whatever environment, altitude. Is there a food you stay away from on the day of a performance?
Well, my rider does specifically say no elephants.
Okay.
So,
right.
No. You know... some of this is just trial and error. You know, there's the obvious thing of I just down lots of bottles of water during when I'm going to sing on the day, just constantly. I get up and I just start drinking to try to get myself hydrated. 8 hours of straight sleep is an absolute must for me. If I'm going to sing, and I have trouble sleeping a lot of times for that long with kids. I'm trained to get up at 6 a.m. at home. And so and on the road, you can't do that. So I wake up and I make myself stay in bed and hopefully fall asleep. But even if I don't, I'm away from people and I'm not using my voice and all that. So that's very important to me. And then you start to find out things. Of course, smoke on a day that I'm going to sing. I just have to stay away from that kind of stuff. I'll never forget going to eat Mexican food about 2 hours before we did a concert down in Houston one day. And I will never do that again because it was the most uncomfortable night of my entire life. I mean, it was, and I love Mexican food, but I don't eat it, especially that close to singing anymore, for the sodium and just, you know, it was miserable. But, you know, in general, from the beginning, I've tried to just not let my voice rule my life. You know, if I have to, you know, you have to make decisions on how much voice you have, how much tolerance you have for whatever. And if something becomes too much of an issue, then you definitely have to take it into account. But, you know, I know people who plan their life around their voice. And I've just really tried not to do that. There are some things that don't make sense, and you try to stay away from them. Then there are some things that don't make sense, and you might find it hard to stay away from them. But and you just know what you're going to have to deal with, and have to figure out how to get around it. So you just kind of have to learn what it is for you as a singer that you can't do.
There's
This is Daniel Britton, friends.
David Phelps is with us here on Daniel Britton, friends. What is your typical morning routine? Do you have a certain process that you go through, whether it's checking email, whether it's running, or just favorite TV show?
Coffee. Coffee is my first thing, and that gets me to where I don't hate everyone around me. But no, I drink coffee, and then I start to wake up a little bit, and then usually it's, if I'm going to exercise that day, it's usually that, and you know, checking email, that's everywhere around us now, so that's hard to stay away from. You know, you get a little bit of that kind of stuff going, and it's of course different out on the road than it is at home. At home, it's coffee, and then you're, you know, yelling for the kids to get up and trying to get everybody out the door, and that's a different routine. Out on the road, it's start drinking water and start trying to see where my voice is by warming up. I usually go, you know, you do that lip buzz thing. That serves a lot of great purposes, and it not only kind of helps muscle memory, but it also kind of lets me know mentally, okay, how hard is this going to be today, you know, to get things going.
David Phelps, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. We're catching up with David Phelps.
Okay, this is going to require taking your humble hat off, okay? Because you probably don't, you know, like to talk about this kind of stuff. But I love it. Now, in an arena where somebody's bought a ticket, I love trying to find the person who is unsuspecting, you know, or finding even some of the arena personnel who have no idea or they've seen tons of shows. Again, because I'm just a huge fan of your voice. Just when the vocal talent hits and you hit those notes and they're just wowed. But at the same time, they're in a music hall, they're expecting some good music. Have you had some cool opportunities where even in just an airport or in a gas station, conversation has started, what do you do for a living? And then they keep pressing and you finally just have to admit, I am a singer. And they say, well, prove it. And then you're in the middle of the Frito line, you know, and the onion rings and the ripples, and you have to sing a line. Have you ever done anything like that?
Oh, it is so funny you're asking me this because I took my son Grant to a Titans game last week. It was Colts versus Titans and they're in Nashville. I snuck out real quick because I wanted to, before they closed down, I wanted to get him a hat because it was our first game I'd taken him to. And so I went into the shop there they have, and when I was checking out, the lady said, what is your name? And I said, my name's David. She said, oh my gosh. And so she started going on. She loved it. And there was other people in line. She brought them up behind me and said, do you know who this is? You know, all that kind of stuff going on. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. And then she got her boss over there to stand, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, Grant's out there just, you know, watching the game by himself. I need to get to him. And then then it turns into, sing a little bit of There Is a River. And I can't bring myself to do it. I just can't bring myself to go, okay, yeah, here I am. Yeah. There is a river. You know, right, it just right. is, I just can't bring myself to feeling like that's right.
And of course, they want the power notes, right?
Oh, I know. That's what they want. They want the big power notes. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you so much. And I tell them, you know, where the website is. They can go look on the website and how honored I am that, you know, she recognized me. But yeah. I'm not going to sing here in the store. I just am not going to. I'm not that much of an exhibitionist, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You might think that's strange after singing on stage or everything. But, you know, I just.
Well, mark my word, now that you said that, some little lady's going to come up next to you in the shopping aisle and says, okay. Just sing a little bit in my ear. David, it's been good to catch up with you, and it's been fun. DavidPhelps.com, that's with a PH, DavidPhelps.com online, and you can just follow everything he's doing with the vocal band. solo work, but now because everybody wants to know everything, and well, you got that Facebook, Twitter, you can get some inside scoop on even just family stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not really great about all of the keeping up constantly, but it's out there, Facebook, Twitter, and my website. So.
Well, keep singing. We love
it. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, man.
It's good to talk to you.
You've been listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britton Friends.